collection of different writings, and some of it is poetry, some of it is apocalyptic writing, some of it is history, and what we're looking at today is a letter that was written from the Apostle Paul to a church in Thessalonica, and what we're going to look at here is what I want to get at is the relationship that you see here between the apostle and his concern for these people in that moment. We're going to start reading in 1 Thessalonians 2, starting at verse 1. It says, "You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You were our witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." So, again, what we find here is the Apostle Paul writing to the church, in the Thessalonian people. It was a group of new believers. They were a fairly new congregation that had been established out of Paul's work. He had planted this church, and while he was away then in Corinth, he had a great concern for the church that they would continue to walk in faith and that they would not be deceived by the many people who came to try to present them a different worldview, who came to present them a false gospel or a totally different worldview. So he had this great concern for them, and he sent Timothy to go check up on the Thessalonian church. And when Timothy returned, the report Paul received was that the church was doing well, they were growing in faith, and they were standing strong against false teachers. It seemed like they were doing well at that point. Now, what this gives us is a picture of the disposition of those, what this passage tells us. It shows us the disposition of those who have influence, and then it also tells us something about the character of the people who received influence, and in a way that it actually affected them. But what I want to look at then is that relationship, that there are responsibilities on both sides, but I think it's amazing to see in here the heart of Paul, and especially considering today, I think it's valuable to talk about this, especially considering that we just had our children do this. We just committed a week to them and providing them the opportunity to fellowship together, to have fun together, to learn about the Lord together, and just nurturing their spirit. That is so vital that the people of God would do that, not just for a week, but that we would have the heart that we see in Paul at all times. You see, what we're saying here today, what you will find, is we're not just talking about Christian leaders, though this applies to Christian leaders. It applies to pastors, it applies to teachers, those who are elders or deacons or whatever your position is. This is something that someday we will stand before God and he will look at us and he will say, "What did you do with your influence?" But you see, it's not just that. It's not limited just to those people. Every one of us has influence, whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not. Every person has influence, right? Every person. There is somebody who looks at you, somebody who sees you, your lifestyle, the ways that you live, the things that you do and say, and it affects them. That could be children, that could be your coworkers, that could be your family, maybe even your parents sometimes. Every person has influence, so every one of us has something we can learn from what we see in the heart of the Apostle Paul here in this passage. Now, he begins this in verse 3 by saying, he says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority." You see, what he's saying is that we passed on to you truth. He's saying that when we were with you, what we gave you wasn't just some sort of agenda. We didn't present you with our agenda to try to gain a following. We weren't trying to gain anything from you. He said we weren't trying to please people, but God, what we came to you with is truth. You see, the apostle knew exactly what I said, that someday he would stand before the Lord God, and the Lord would look at Paul and he would say, "What did you do with the influence that I gave you?" And the apostle is saying in this moment, we didn't come to you with anything other than what the Lord told us to come and share with you. That's it. We didn't try to gain anything from you. I didn't try to lord authority over you. He said that. He said, we could have come to you as apostles. You understand that in the Word of God, it says that Christ set in place apostles, prophets, teachers, all of these things to build up the church. In some way, they have been given authority. Somebody has to be able to make decisions, right? He said, we could have come to you with authority, but we didn't. We could have come and told you, this is what God is saying. You need to make sure you do it. But you see, he goes on to talk about then how they came simply promoting this message out of love for the people. So we see here then, starting in verse 7, the concern of the apostle, his heart for the people. Verse 7 says this, "Instead we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." You see, in verse 7 again, rather than those who promote some sort of agenda for selfish gain, rather than those who are just trying to gain a following here in this earth, he said, rather than that, we were gentle among you. As a mother who desperately loves and nurtures her children, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. He says in verse 8, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Now this phrase here, it says because we loved you so much. If you study that in the Greek language, it means because we loved you so much. It's talking about because we desired for you to love the Lord, because we had a desire to know you and be with you. We longed for this because we loved you this much. We didn't just share with you the minimum. We didn't just share with you what was simply our duty, but he said we shared with you our very lives, everything that he had. You see, as opposed to all of those who would try to teach people just simply to gain a following or try to get you to follow their cause or to support their cause here on the earth. Everybody's trying to get you to follow something or to support something, support some kind of cause. He's saying, we came to you as somebody who was willing to give you everything that we had. Saying we were willing to share with you our whole lives. It doesn't matter what it is. My whole life is at your disposal. Everything that I have. You see, and that's so meaningful because we live in a culture where our time is devoted to just about everything but relationships. Even in marriages. You see this in marriages. How many marriages fall apart because the spouses are running in a million different directions? And then a few years down the road, it's like they don't even know each other anymore. There was never any time devoted to actually growing together and sharing life together and being together. If you expect that you are going to be married, you better be willing, as the Apostle Paul said, to to share with your spouse not just the minimum, not just living up to whatever you consider a duty, but to love your spouse in a way that I am willing to share with you my life. That means that I am willing to devote time and energy to a relationship. And it goes farther than that. My point is that marriage today is an illustration of a wider problem. The people are not devoted to one another in relationships. This is what we see in the Apostle Paul. He said, I don't come to you just as a leader who comes to you with authority saying, here is what you have to do. He said, I am willing to share everything that I have with you. And again, as we see this week, our young people who stand on the stage and they just learned about the Lord all week and they fellowship together, that is vital for their growth. That is something that is vital for eternity, not just for a week for them to have fun, but so they can know that as believers, we are able to come together and share life together. Listen, you can be sure that our young people will not grow up to walk with the Lord if they don't actually feel like they can share life together. And that begins with us. By being willing to share life together. This is what we see even in Jesus, that he walked the earth with all of these men that he was committed to. And we see all throughout the Word of God how sometimes they were so foolish and made just ridiculous decisions. Yet Jesus was willing to share his life with them and to serve them. And we see the same heart here in the Apostle Paul. Listen to some other things we find the Apostle Paul writing in different letters to different churches. To the church in Corinth, he wrote this. He was talking about all the hardships that he had been enduring. And he says, besides everything else, I faced the daily pressure of my concern for all of the churches. You see, he had a daily concern for the people under his care. And you see, that again is not just for Christian leaders, but every one of us who has influence. Who is the person that you have influence over? Is it your children? Do you have a daily concern for them? When you wake up in the morning, do you have a concern for the things that they will do in that day? Do you have a concern for the things that they will set before their eyes? The things that are establishing a worldview in them? This lens by which they will view things in this world for the rest of their lives? Does that concern you on a daily basis? We have to understand. The decisions I am making now in our young children are building a foundation in them for life. Number one, do I have a concern about that at all? Does it ever even really cross my mind? Because I would imagine a lot of people in this world, it doesn't. We go throughout our day and hope for the best. Nobody got hurt today, so it was successful, right? But you see, it's more than that. We have to consider, what are the things that I believe and what is this doing in my child? How do they see me interacting with my spouse? How do they see me interacting with other people? What are the things that I am telling them are true? Because that's going to be something that they take with them for the rest of their life. The Apostle Paul had a daily concern for all of the church. He wrote to the church in Ephesus, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. How many times do you give thanks for the people around you? How many times are you thankful for the people that God has entrusted to your care? Again, whether that's your children, your spouse, whether that's your family, whether that's your parents even. You understand, the Bible says honor your mother and father. That doesn't mean stop when you become an adult. That means the rest of your life. Even when they are gone, you can still honor their life. How many times are you thankful for the people that have been entrusted to your care? How many times are you thankful for the people over whom you have influence? He wrote to the Philippian church. He said, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. The Galatian church, he said, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. He had this amazing concern. He was consumed with this concern that the people under his care, who he was shepherding, who he was influencing, that he would stop at nothing to see the Lord be established in their hearts, that the truth would be established in them, and they would walk in that way. Listen what he says then. 1 Thessalonians 2, later in the chapter, verse 19, he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy." You see, what he is saying in that moment is, what do I have when I stand before God? What do I have? Can I lay before him that I have attained material things? Can I lay before him that I have gained some sort of status here in this earth? No, what I have when I stand before the Lord is you and the influence that I have. So this is our glory in that moment. When I stand before God, my glory is how I influence people. Isn't that an amazing thing? To consider all of the things that we run after in this earth. All of the things that we commit time to, sometimes to the neglect of those things that are the most important. And the Apostle Paul says that I have nothing when I stand before Jesus, but I have you. You are my glory when I stand before the Lord. You see, in the same way, this should be my concern for my children, my spouse, my family, my church. That when you stand before the Lord, you can say, "Lord, I gave everything I had for the sake of the people around me, to serve them, and my concern was that you would be established in their hearts, that they would know you and walk with you. That you would point people towards Jesus in all things, away from this world that is telling them over and over, well, if you just get this, then you will be happy. Or if you just do this, then you will be happy. Or if you are able to have a bank account that has this much money in it, then you will be happy. Do this and this and this. All of these things will make you happy, and it never does." He's saying, if you have concern for one another, this is what will bring you glory when you stand before the Lord. When you get to the end of your life and you draw your last breath, this is what will bring you glory. You see, what's amazing about that is yesterday we attended the funeral of, as they said, Pastor Henry Scoff. And in my last church, I was a worship pastor, and Pastor Henry was there, I think. I don't remember exactly. He was there something like 22 or 25 years at that church. And I was with him for 10 years. And you couldn't possibly ask for a better mentor. Man that was unbelievably patient. And amazing at just teaching. And he passed away unexpectedly. You wouldn't have expected him to pass away that way. He had a heart attack, and nobody saw it coming. But that place was packed with people that he had influenced. My dad actually went into ministry under Henry, and then I served with him later. And so many people over the years that he had mentored into ministry and assisted them in that calling. But I'm not sure that you could have a better legacy to leave when you pass on from this earth than what I saw yesterday. There's nothing else. What else could he have had? Could he have had more money if he worked a different job? Yeah, I'm sure he could have had a nicer house, all these kind of things, nicer material things. He could have done other things. He could have gone on elaborate vacations, all of these things. But you see, when he was there, person after person came through talking about how he had influenced them for the Lord. What else do you have but that? There's nothing more that we could do. And you see, my point in that today, I don't think I'm going to get through all that I had, but my point in that today is that you and I have the opportunity to influence, whether it's each other, whether that's people at our work, whether that's our children or spouse or the children in this congregation, or those that come visit who don't normally attend this congregation, we have the opportunity to influence. And as we do that, we would do well to consider the influence of the Apostle Paul, who was willing to share with them not just the minimum to meet his Christian duty, but he said, we are willing to share with you our very lives. This is what God created the church to be. That it would be people who are willing to share life together. You understand that that means that there is good and bad in that. Because what happens in a family? You see the best of people and you see the worst of people, right? And that means that as people who are willing to share life together, you are willing to endure the difficult times as well as celebrate the good times together. You see, the Apostle Paul was committed to those people. He said, I faced daily pressure in my concern for you. It was a daily thing that he considered this, that Christ would be formed in them. He was so concerned about their eternity that it was a daily pressure that he was thinking and praying for them. You see, and in the same way, we would do well to figure out what is most important in this life. And as the Apostle Paul said, I have nothing when I stand before the Lord except you. And make that your priority above everything else. That you and I have influence in this earth. And to figure out how to guide people with our influence so that they would know the Lord, that they would walk with him, that they would experience life in him, and they would experience eternity with him. Because if there's anything also that Pastor Henry passing away showed again, it is that you don't have any idea. I can't tell you how shocked I was Tuesday morning when I got a text message saying that Henry's unconscious and not responding. You don't have any idea. When is the last time you are going to be able to influence somebody, to use your influence well? You don't know when is the last time. So we would do well to make sure every moment counts. And to consider what a joy it will be at the end when I stand before the Lord and I can say, maybe I failed in it sometimes, but I did my best to give everything I had for the people around me so that they would know you. As we end today, we're going to open up the altars again. If you need to pray about anything, you can come this side. Somebody will pray with you. You can come to this side. Pray by yourself. The worship team can come up. There was more that I wanted to say, but we're just going to close it at that this morning. It is a joy to be able to influence people for the Lord. It is an honor to be able to influence people for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said again to the church in Corinth that they are ambassadors of God, as though Christ was making his appeal to the earth through them. An ambassador is somebody who goes to a foreign land to represent the official position of the kingdom that sends them to the foreign land. You understand what is here in this earth is, the Bible says in Philippians, that you and I are citizens of heaven. When you receive Jesus, you are no longer a citizen of this earth, you are a citizen of heaven. And you live here as a stranger in this earth. And you see, in that moment then, I become an ambassador of the kingdom where my citizenship resides. And as I walk through this earth then, my purpose is to represent the official position of God, my King. In all the things that I do, in my interactions with people, my family, my coworkers, everything, the decisions I make on a daily basis are to represent the official position of my King. And whether that, in this church specifically, whether that is with our children or each other, whatever we are doing, remember our purpose. Remember our purpose. Remember the value of using your influence well for the Lord. And remember the heart of the Apostle Paul. It may take you time to cultivate that heart, that you have a daily concern for the people around you. Maybe you don't have that concern right now. But you see what we find later in this passage. It's the last thing I'll say. Verse 13, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is the word of God. You see, you may not have a concern for the people that you have influence over in this moment. But you see, the witness of this church, those who received the influence of the Apostle Paul, is they received it as God's word. They received it with authority. That this is something that I should actually apply myself to. This is something that I should maybe consider doing on a daily basis. Applying these things. My point in that is sometimes as God's church or God's people, it's like we're just waiting for God to drop something profound on us when he's saying, I've already told you what to do. Just start doing it. Even when you don't necessarily feel that in you, when you start making a decision, okay, the Apostle Paul has shown us this influence, this disposition of concern for the people under his care. I will make it a daily priority to remember that, to study that, to see that in him, and to search to understand how do I apply that to myself. And you begin to cultivate a heart that reflects this. Now, I'm not diminishing God's work in you. God is the one who does the work in you. But sometimes we miss that work in us because we just don't put ourselves in a position to see that work happen in our hearts. What I mean is that just as this church received this message, not as the words of man, but they received it as the word of God, you and I have to say, okay, God has spoken, now how do I order my life after it? What I'm saying is you and I have a responsibility in it to apply that and order our life after what God has spoken, rather than to just sit and say, oh God, you just drop it in my lap and I'll figure out how then to make it happen. You make me do it, then I'll do it. No, you got to make a decision at some point too that you're going to live up to it. The Apostle Paul had concern for his people, a daily concern, in the same way you and I should cultivate a heart where we love people that much that I am willing to not just live up to this minimum duty, but I delight in sharing my life with other people. And begin in your own family. Start that in your own family, and then allow it to grow out of that into other people. It's a joy to see our kids up here this day, isn't it? Thank God for this week that they were able to be here and grow in the Lord together and fellowship together. If you need to pray about anything, you can come up this morning. God, we thank you today for the opportunity to be together and look into your word for a few moments. We thank you for the influence of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his daily concern for his people. We thank you for this model of Christian love. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to live up to the influence, the responsibility that you have given us as a result of our influence. Father, help us to be people that would cultivate this heart of daily concern. That we would be people who are so desperate to see you formed in the hearts of the people around us that we would stop at nothing to see that happen. Father, help us in our own families to begin there. with our spouses, our children, those in our immediate family, Father, that we would love them desperately. We would love the people in our church desperately, Father, then that it would overflow into the people around us that do not know you yet. Father, help us to remember, as the Apostle Paul said, that when he stands before you, there is no glory, no joy, except those people that you had entrusted to his care. It's an amazing thing to consider that. That in those moments, people are what will mean the most. Father, help us to remember that. We love you and thank you for your goodness and all that you'll do as we walk with you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
If you please stand.